Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Well, welcome to New Life Live. This is Larry Sonnenberg. I'm sitting in for Steve, hopefully temporarily. We've had a technical glitch, and if he were able to resolve that during the show, he'll be back on to join.
But he's listening.
Yeah.
He's listening. Hey,
so
Steve.
Watch
he's
what we say.
With anticipation, you know? Poor guy.
Yeah, my real nice guy, Steve Arterburn.
I know.
Okay, well, I wanted to ask you guys a question. How do you do in your own lives with quiet, pause, reflective, be still and know that I am God time?
I honestly would one of those guys that would love to be more consistent. And so I'm inconsistently consistent. But what I have found for myself is that I need to follow some sort of program. That like I have to have sort of like this thing in front of me. And so like right now, my program is just simply the Gospel of Luke. But what I've created for myself is what I call my CPE. And the CPE stands for Centering, Plan, and Execute. So I spend some time in the morning and I center myself, centering myself in God and Christ and in myself. And then I go through the plan of my day, pray over it, look over it. And then actually what I have to do is shut my brain off and go and execute it.
Okay.
So that's kind of the, and again, I'm not consistent with it every single day, but I'm becoming more consistent with it, and it's helping out a lot.
Yeah. Is it an easy thing for you, Sherry, or is it?
Well, I'm on the fly by the seat of your pants program right now.
There you go.
No, seriously. Ever since the launch of my book in March, my life has just gotten so much more busier. And so you know what I'm doing? I'm grabbing moments in my car. I'm connecting to the Lord and praying before clients come in the day. Maybe late at night when I'm just sitting there having a cup of coffee. I'm you know that verse, pray without ceasing? Mm-hmm. I think that is what I'm having to do right now, just to continue conversations with the Lord. So I wish I could tell you it's more structured. But the cool thing about it is God is showing up, and He is there with us. He loves when we think about Him and talk to Him and open our hearts, even if you're flying by the seat of your pants.
I loved what you said about the car, because the discovery I made a year or two ago was there's an off button on the radio.
There is. I do not, for that very reason, Larry, do not turn my radio on. I get quiet, and I can hear myself think, and I can hear conversations that I'm having with the Lord.
I've stopped watching news at home, so the only time I pay attention is in the car and radio. But even then, it gets old so fast that I just sometimes just have to turn that off and have some time. But, you know, we had a devotion this morning, our staff, and we talked about the quietness and pausing.
Yeah.
And it really speaks to me, because that's my struggle, too. It's flying by the seat of my pants, and we need more. And there's so many scriptures, you know, I looked up in the concordance. There's nothing in scripture about rushing, hurry, quick, get it done. That's not there.
In fact, it's like, wait.
It's the opposite. Yeah.
Sit.
And in 1 Timothy, he writes that we should pray and to live in peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
Mm.
And especially in America, it's the case that we are the get it done people.
Yeah.
Get it done. So we're going to get it done in a minute.
What's funny, Larry, is I think all of us can kind of work in the flesh and get stuff done. But you know what? When you enlist the Holy Spirit. And when you reach out to God and you say, you got to get it done with me and for me, it looks very different.
It feels different too.
Yeah. So hold on here. We're going to come back and we'll start taking your calls right after this break.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Well, welcome back. Sitting in for Steve Arterburn with Chris Williams and Sherry Keffer. And we're going to take your call, but I have to clarify one thing. We were talking about quiet time in cars and turning off your radio. Don't turn your radio off right now. You're listening to a good show. We don't want you to do that.
Terry, the voice of the show, came in and said, hey, can you just make sure that you turn this off now?
Okay. Well, let's go and let's talk to Joyce in Dallas. She listens on KWRD. Hello, Joyce. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, how do I let go of and heal from wanting a relationship with a sister that apparently doesn't want one?
Speak just a little bit more. How old are you, and what's your relationship been with your sister? Is this sudden or is this long term?
Well, she's 50 and I'm 45, and we've always been, I thought, pretty close. I mean, we'd contact each other and you know, do things together, and I'd go over there. She'd invite me for family events and all kinds of things. And then we lost our parents about 8 years ago, and everything seemed fine. We did the same stuff. And then a couple of years ago, she called me, and she said, I want to come over. She lives about 100 miles away, and she said, I want to talk to you about something. And I said, okay, and I was looking forward to it, you know. And she comes over, and we go out to eat, and she looked at me, and she said, you know, I don't consider you part of my family. And I said, you don't? Why not? And she said, that's my husband and my kids. And I said, well, have I offended you, or is there something going on in your life? Because, you know, we've always been pretty close, and this really hurts because you're my only sibling. And she said, no, there's nothing going on, but you don't need to be expecting invitations to anything else.
Wow.
And I said, oh, well, I don't know how to handle that. And so after that, that's been 2 years. And I'll text her and I'll call her. But if I text her, she usually doesn't respond. If I ask her a question, she might answer with a one-word answer like yes or fine. I called her and invited her over a couple times, you know, around the holidays. And I said, let's kind of get reacquainted. And one of them, she said, I don't want to talk to you. And so I'm tired. I keep sending birthday cards and stuff, but she seems to make it pretty plain. And I found out, you know, recently that her, one of her daughters had a baby, and they didn't tell me. You know, that's, she's been about 6 months ago, and I don't know what to do.
Well,
do you know everyone listening to you right now is feeling an ache? Everybody, Joyce. Everybody who is listening, 100% of us, are experiencing an ache in our heart. Do you know why?
No.
Loss.
Yep.
Like irreparable loss when someone that you love is choosing to not be a part of your life. And I imagine there's many of us that are looking at our relationships, our family members, our friendships, where we've lost somebody who is very dear to us because they didn't want to be a part of our life, or that relationship was so toxic and tense. And I got to tell you, I don't know what Kool-Aid she's drinking, but she's drinking something right now, and that the philosophy isn't even biblical. And I love the fact that you actually asked her, have I done anything to offend you? You did all the brave things. You did all the right things. But you know what she said? I don't want a relationship. And so what you're left with is loss.
Yeah.
And dealing with that brokenheartedness, you don't have to keep chasing somebody who is telling you, I don't want a relationship. And it's counter-design. It's counterintuitive. We all want to keep fighting because we think someday they're going to wake up. But you know what? They don't wake up. Some of them don't want it. I have an estranged sister, my oldest sister. The difference is we've always been, there's always been tension between us. And so I don't have any contact with her, and she doesn't have any contact with me. And I have had to grieve her. But you know what I have done? I have, and this is going to sound horrible, but in a way, I have had to replace that relationship with some other friends that want to be with me, that love me, that I can have connection with. And I have had to let go of her. So I don't know that I have the right answer, but I feel you. And I think a lot of other folks do.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, Joyce.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say I appreciate that. I guess, you know, and I have friends. I have some really close connections. But it's really hard when you have, like, nieces and things. And
I know.
They're having children, and then you can't ever have a contact with them. You don't see them growing up, you know?
It's loss. It's bloody loss. I don't know. Chris, you may have a different take on it.
No, it's the same take. It's just a little bit broader. And that is, loss itself does weird things to us that we've never anticipated. When we don't grieve, it turns sideways and comes out sideways. And I'm not, I can't speak for your sister, but you telling me that you lost your parents a couple of years ago.
Huge.
That is a huge.
No, It was eight years ago.
But lost both of them.
Yes, lost both of them 8 years ago. Lost your sister 2 years ago. Family is embedded inside of us. We carry it around. And so it's a different and a deeper sense of loss or grief that we have to work through.
She's your only sister, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's your only sibling, right? So you've lost three quarters of your family. What you're saying, Chris, is huge.
Yes. And in that, the loss is an abandonment. And what happens when people go dark, when it goes radio silent, is that we tend to fill in the blanks ourselves. We tend to fill in that silence. And it's never positive. It's always negative.
What does that sound like? That I did something wrong?
I did something wrong. There's something wrong with me. Or there is something terribly wrong with them. Whatever the case may be. But Joyce, that's what I want you to protect yourself from. I want you to protect yourself from a voice inside of you that tells you that you are wrong or bad because of what your sister has chosen to tragically do with this relationship.
Well, thank you. That's exactly what I've been telling myself. Like, if I just change something about me, then she'll come back.
No, that's it's not going to work. Because there's nothing wrong with you in this situation. If there is something wrong with you, then it's her responsibility to tell you. But because she hasn't told you, she has taken her ball and gone home. You know, and that's the one thing of perpetration that we can't see is abandonment as a primary form and sometimes the worst form of perpetration.
So you've got 45 more years, girl, ahead of you. You told us your age. You've got 45 years. Mm-hmm. You know what you need? And I'm so sorry about these losses because they're devastating, but you're going to need to get into a new family. I would say find a mentor couple that you can get connected with through your church. I want you to begin to press into and impose yourself into another family system. You need it.
Okay. I can do that.
Joyce, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
It's really a tough situation.
And let's send her a copy of Take Your Life Back.
It is. Take Your Life Back. Because, you know, when things like this happen that are so devastating, we have to hold on to ourselves and get what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep talking here. Let's go on to Jan in Alexandria, Kentucky. Listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Jan. How are you today?
Hello. I was really thrilled when I heard who is there today, because my problem is an intimate deception problem. I have that book. I've been working on that.
Good for you, Jan.
And, of course, Chris, too. I love everything that you tell everybody. I'll just begin briefly by saying I called in a few months ago, and I got some really good advice at the time. I've been married for 43 years to a man who has had a porn addiction. He was first exposed to it when he was 6. He's now 68. Mm. He has off and on through the years promised to do better, to get over it. But it hasn't. And he, in addition to that, I think because of the shame he's felt, he's always been an angry man. He's been emotionally abusive to me and the kids. And I had a number of reasons for staying, but earlier this year I found out that he's been on Covenant Eyes. We had it installed last year, but I found out that he was the only one getting the reports. His accountability partner wasn't, and he's still acting out. So in February of this year, I basically said, we need some time apart. I told him he needed to decide what he wanted to do with his future, because that's what I was going to do, and I left. I was gone at my daughter's in another state for 4 months. And when I called in, one of the things that they suggested was he needs to, because at the time he was telling me, I'm talking to a counselor every now and then. I've read the book Worthy of a Trust. Please come home. Please come home. And I didn't feel like he was doing enough. So they recommended he needs to get to an Everyman's Battle Conference. He needs to be doing 12 step. He needs to be doing other things, which is what I agreed with at the time. So he did agree to go to an Everyman's Battle because he is disabled and he doesn't drive. I did come back to drive him to the one in Atlanta in July. And for the first 2 weeks, he was gung-ho. I mean, he did everything he was supposed to, and things looked well. And then all of a sudden, that was just done. He hasn't been to a counselor in 3 months. He's kind of starting to go to a group at church, but I don't see anything happening. But now the thing that's really throwing something into this and making a game changer is his health has declined, and in the last 6 weeks he's been in the hospital 3 times, and he's currently in a nursing home. He's not going to get better. They're going to try to get him home, but he could be in and out of the nursing home, and that could be a permanent thing. I don't know. So I'm kind of at a point now where I'm working my own recovery, but is there even a reasonable expectation anymore that with his health issues that he's going to want to or be willing to work any kind of recovery? Is there still hope for restoration, or do I need to just be kind of looking at handling the business of everyday life at this point?
Wow. There's a lot of layers there, Jan.
There's a lot of layers, yep.
There's a lot of layers.
And I don't know how to respond anymore. You know, and a lot of times he's kind of gone back to, well, he's confessed, he's done this. So, you know, he tells me he loves me. He's sort of acts
like nothing
happened.
I get it.
And I can't say that to him.
Well,
I honestly am not the point where I can say that to him.
Well, but Chris and I both know this. And we know it very well. And Larry, you know it too, because you're at every EMB weekend. So many of these guys have underlying wounds and trauma issues that actually drive their acting out. Now, you just told me he was in a wheelchair. I'm already going, that whatever happened to him is a huge trauma. Now, I never make excuses for them to act out, right? The guys that I work with. But if he doesn't get healing, and I'm talking consistent healing, some EMDR, some deep trauma work for that wound in there, he is like a little boy that keeps going back to something that makes him feel good for a very short period of time, and he's never going to get traction.
It started at 6 years old.
Six decades ago. He's still looking for a magical solution that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's a lot of hard work. So practically speaking, in a nursing home, you know, I would just, I mean, I know this is practical, but the first thing that came through my mind is flip phone. You know, a lot of our guys, they cannot handle having digital devices, a smartphone at all. We're talking, that would be number one, flip phone. Sorry. That's where we start, right? Because he has not been able to get traction. Now, as far as what you're going to do with somebody in who's in a nursing home, there's some big things for you to have to consider, because the more weakened he becomes, who is he going to depend on, right? And
and he's already depending on me, as his primary caregiver, because, like I said, he does want to come home, but even then he has to have aides come in, help him bathe and do all kinds of things.
It sounds to me like he did not join Sustained Victory when he went to Every Man's Battle.
No, I don't think he did.
It's not too late for that. And that's a phone call every week.
Yep.
And he can take a phone call in a nursing home, and he needs community. He's not getting any community.
Nope.
Well, and I want to speak to a primary way he's thinking when we come back from the break to help give Jan a clarification on what to do here.
But you're right, Larry. You know, you got to get connected. You come to the weekend, and it's a great way for them to get connected, get understand the addictive piece, and then start working on their recovery. But it's just the beginning, right?
Yeah. We'll be right back and finish up with you right after this.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, and it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be his.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back, and we are talking with Jan, and you've got a closing comment here.
I think what's really important is that for Jan's husband, he has what we call a learned helplessness. And so I'm not saying that his conditions aren't serious, but 6 decades of addiction, and he has not learned how to take responsibility for his life or his solution. So what happens is that everyone around him dances around and works overtime to figuring out his solutions for him, and then he gets to play the victim role and say why those things don't help him and why he can't get better. Or he'll throw in a magic solution of like, hey, I did this one thing, and so therefore I should be better.
Yeah, or I love you, or I read this book, or whatever.
So what I want to say to Jan is that there is 6 decades of evidence here, at least for you. There's 4 decades of evidence that your husband has done the same thing over and over and over and over again. If you expect him to do something different, that's on you.
Yeah.
You have a clear expectation. Just your decision has got to be based on not what could be, but what has been.
So what we would like to do, Jan, is send you a copy of Understanding and Loving a Person with Sexual Addiction. We think that just might help you some. You know what the sad part is? He says to her, I love you, and he really means it. I really believe he means it. But he doesn't know how to act it and do it.
He doesn't have a clue what actual love is.
Right.
He has a love deafness.
Yes.
There's a lot of pain there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, where was that? We want to go and talk to Melinda. Melinda's on line 5. And hello, Melinda. She listens in Dallas, Texas on The Word, KWRD. How can we help you today?
Hi, guys. Well, I have an 11-year-old daughter. And I just got a call from the school counselor earlier today saying that they did a presentation to the sixth grade class about depression. And afterwards, they were all supposed to take a questionnaire to see if you were depressed or not depressed. Well, the counselor called me and said that my daughter scored a crazy above average for being depressed. I guess the normal child would score a 15, and my daughter scored a 49 on being depressed. And I was just curious. Her home life is great. She's happy all the time. I don't see any symptoms at home of her being depressed at all. So this came as like a huge surprise to me. And I don't know, you know, of course I want to take this serious, but I don't know if this is a serious problem of depression she might have. Or if, like a lot of her friends that I've noticed in the sixth grade, they're almost like they're glorifying mental disorders, and she just might want to have one because everybody else is, type thing. Mm.
You know, isn't it interesting being a parent? Because
it's so hard. And
it's
always
so hard. It's so hard. You're trying to figure out now what side of the coin are you on today, right? And she's at that age. So you know what I would do is I would actually let her follow through with her answers. So she scored high. I would actually just let her know. I got a call from the, you know, folks at your school, and you scored really high on this test. And so in order to take care of your heart and to just check out what's going on in your world, I've set up an appointment for us to go in and see a counselor. So, you know, the good news is for you to do that, let's just say she was trying to glorify this. Well, what that's going to do is she's going to see a natural consequence to her glorification, and she'll end up in a counselor's office, and they may have one or two, three sessions with her, and they may begin to go, okay, I kind of get the read on this. If it is something, you've done the right thing. But just having her in a counselor's office, I know that's going to, you're going to have to invest some shekels, and we can put you in touch with someone who's in our community. But there's no harm by following through with her answers. And you might be right.
Okay.
But if you don't do anything and you don't take this seriously and there is something, then you're going to always regret following through. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's where I really would take this as seriously as it presents. Now, let me tell you a couple things that are problematic. Taking a test that a student passes out and diagnosing depression is not responsible, to be really honest.
It's a self-report,
right?
So
we need a professional to really come in and do the proper work, the proper assessment here. But teenage depression is an epidemic unlike any other. And I can't tell you in my own community how tragic it is, how many times I hear of an adolescent, a teenager attempting or actually taking their own life. And everyone around them is saying, I never saw it coming. I never saw it coming with this person or that person. Because we're really, really good at hiding these things. And not talking about them. So much like Sherry said, to add to that, Melinda, is I would tell your daughter, oh, what a gift. What an amazing thing that we get to talk about what's going on the inside of
you. Totally. And maybe get a copy of the test so you can actually see some of the
questions. Absolutely. You've got to get your hands on that assessment without a doubt.
You're going to be able to sit down and go, oh, wow, I didn't know what is going on.
I would do that before I made an appointment.
Yeah.
See if she was bluffing.
Of course.
Yeah. And so that leads into these deeper conversations that you can have with her and opens up a continuing dialogue about what's going on in the inside of her as she's going through these really weird and tough pubescent years. And so, and I really think that a book that can really help you out with that is How We Love Our Kids. It can really give you the language and also the atmosphere to set it up so you can have these great and deep conversations that can really approach hard topics in life.
Okay. Well, thank you, Melinda, for calling. Tough situation. I hope that you learn a lot and that everything works out well for your daughter. We'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. Larry Sonnenberg sitting in for Steve Arterburn, and I have Chris Williams and Dr. Sherry Keffer sitting here with me. Before we go to the next call, we want to take another call real quick here, but I want to read the first half of a letter. The whole letter is posted on our website. This is a letter that son of one of the alumni from Every Man's Battle wrote to the counselor that worked with him and is a coach for him in our Sustained Victory program. And I want to read the first half of the letter, and you can go to the website and read the second. But it's really powerful. And this is why we seek your support. I want you to know that. It's the life change that happens that encourages us and tells us God's hand of favor is on this. It's just that we don't feel his hand of favor when we struggle financially. And you can sure affirm that favor by making a gift to New Life. He says, "Dear Mr. Bob," the counselor's name was Bob, "as you and I both know, my father was a very lost man 8 years ago. Every aspect of his life was completely unmanageable. Our family suffered for it. Further, the influences in his life at that time, be it coworkers, friends, or even church members, seemed to pull him further from victory. However, despite the enormous burden of his out-of-control addiction, God saw the real Conrad," that's his dad's name, "through the layers of destruction. He saw a warrior, leader, and servant that he himself made him to be, and he wouldn't settle for less. His plan for he and his family was far too great to give Satan another win. 8 years later, a man that I wanted to be nothing like became my role model in Christ. He became an attentive, deeply loving father and husband, reflecting his newfound love for Christ through his actions. He spat in the face of addiction, ran to Jesus, and helped carry other men to victories in their own lives and homes. Now I look at this man and see a warrior, one that any man would walk alongside in battle, including me. I can honestly say I no longer remember the man my dad was. His victory holds so much weight that no sin can support. Even if I attempt to think about the past, including the unfavorable, broken aspects of it all I see is triumph. He did the hard things to earn it, plain and simple. Well, scratch plain and simple. It makes me smile, laugh, and most of all, feel unbelievably thankful. Through the years of sobriety, my dad continues to kick the cowardly butt of sexual addiction, and for that, men like you deserve the most loving thank you.
Wow.
Isn't that
something? That's incredible.
I just love that. So with that thought, we want to get back to the phones, but we need your help financially. It's a big chunk that we've got to get back on top of, and your gift will make a difference, and somebody like this will have a dad in the family that they had lost.
Well, and Larry, beyond the cliches of do it for the children, the reality, do it for the children.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, generations really are impacted by either the pain and the addictions that we carry or by the health and recovery that we carry. And so, again, what we do here is not only just changing the life, it's changing the life of a son and a daughter out there.
Right. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go back. We're going to talk to John in Frederick, Maryland. Listens on WAVA. Hello, John. How are you doing?
Oh, not too good.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, I recently found out that my wife has been cheating on me we've been married for 10 years, together for 16, and she's been cheating on me the entire time.
Ooh.
The list that came out was 30 different men and women, and including on that list is my baby brother. And my question, the thing I'm struggling with most is, should I expose him to my sister-in-law, or should that be his responsibility?
You mentioned a list. Tell us about how did that list come about?
Oh, I had to browbeat it out of her. It came out over the last month. I call it the blacklist.
Okay, so did she step forward and confess, or did you find out what happened?
It all started, she got caught sexting, and the man that she was sexting with, his wife contacted me through Facebook, so it was just by chance she got caught. And I just couldn't believe that this was a one-time incident, so it, you know, her pattern's been the same. She gives me a couple names and then says, she downplays and says, oh, well, it only went this far, it didn't go any farther, and then I keep pushing and pushing. It's like the whole time God's been giving me the gut instinct that there's more, and over the last month it's been a list of 30 plus names.
So your question has to do with your brother?
Right, that's the one that's most sensitive.
Yeah, I can imagine. But you want to repeat your question about your brother? You want to know if you
He's
should talk to
brother.
Him?
I've already talked to him, and he denies everything. But I feel like I should tell his wife, because if nobody would have came to me and told me, I'd still be in the dark.
Absolutely. John, I want to affirm that for you today, that woman who reached out to you via Facebook, as painful and hard and difficult as it was, is she allowed you to wake up to the light of the situation you're in, to the truth of your reality. And so unfortunately, you withholding this information from your sister-in-law keeps her in the dark. And so I, you know, do unto others here. You know, I would want to, if someone knew about information about something like this in my life, just please let me know. And so I do think that the right thing to do would be to let her know. And I can only anticipate how much difficulty and challenge it's going to create with your relationship with your brother.
Because your brother is going to somewhat feel betrayed, but I got to tell you something. He's been betraying. And it's amazing how much lying and deceit and covering our tracks happens when we've done something that we know is wrong. And so there's a lot of trying to keep your reputation intact, trying to keep your kids intact, trying to keep your world intact, right? And not deal with reality. But I think the kindest thing you could do, biggest picture, would be to do exactly what Chris said, is to let her know. But I wouldn't, I would probably let her know and then hand her a copy of my book, which is, it's called Intimate Deception, Healing the Wounds of Sexual Betrayal. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here with you, John, and I'm wanting to ask you how you're doing. How's your heart with all of this? Yeah, it's big. Oh, man. I am so sorry, John. I am so sorry, John.
I'm crushed.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I know. I know. Crushed.
But I love her. I love her so much. I've loved her for 16 years, and I can't just throw it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your heart needs to be embraced right now with someone who can walk this out with you. I don't want you to do it alone.
Is she still acting out, or has she expressed willingness to try to restore and recover things with you?
She has completely been on my side since she got caught. It's like a complete 180, but I'm so leery because she's so good at deceiving me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're going to counseling 3 times a week, and we have mentors in the church. The problem is the church we go to, my parents are the pastors, so they're torn.
Yeah.
Ripping the family apart.
Well, there's a group that's called Poseida. It's actually for women. They have a program for women who have something called love, sex, and relationship addiction. And with this rap sheet that you've gotten, the blacklist, it's actually tells a lot about how long she's been doing it and how many partners. And I wouldn't even be surprised, John, if there wasn't sexual abuse in her past because of how she's acting out with so many different types of people and partners. So there's a huge wound, and if you are committed to stay, someone's got to get in there and heal her wound as well. But
yeah, and she just, like, to your point, Sherry, she really does have to get engaged in a daily type of program.
Yep.
You know, to get relief and separation from the acting out, but also to get underneath the wounds that are driving her acting out.
Yeah, because if not, people are really contrite usually after they're caught, right?
Yeah.
But getting on a good recovery path, getting into good treatment centers, getting good therapists, getting into a 12-step group, I mean, she's going to need all of that. And then John's going to need some healing, right? His heart has been shattered.
So a book for John. I mean, I think we should send Intimate Deception so he could give that to that sister.
I think he needs it too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he just
absolutely.
Yeah, without a doubt.
All right.
Yep.
Well, that's what we're going to send you, John. And thank you so much for calling. We're going to take another call right after this.
Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas's house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
my husband had done the Every Man's Battle, and I thought, what? There's something for women?
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., November 9th through the 11th.
There are so many other people that are going through the same things, that love the Lord, and it doesn't look very Jesus to do certain things and think certain things about your mate, but that's normal. I just got a new normal. It's not dark in there. It's very light. You literally hear people laughing that could not even smile or frown. I was that way as well. I was pretty much just flat. It happened almost immediately, the energy of everyone pulling together for restoration. It happens pretty fast.
To find out more about the Restore Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
It went from get out quick with the info to making friends.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, welcome back. New Life Live, Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams, and we're going to go and we're going to talk to Greg. He's on line 8, and Greg's in Iowa City, listens on Sirius XM. Hello, Greg. How you doing?
Yeah, good. I'm having a lot of trouble with sleep, anxiety, and it's been really, I mean, it's been going on off and on since I was probably 18. I'm 60.
Wow.
So here in the last 8 months or so, it's gotten pretty intense, and I just can't seem to get on top of it, you know, no matter what kind of medication I take or... and just, you know, it's getting to be a real grind. I just really, I'm at the end of my rope as far as answers.
What, can you attribute anxiety about certain things, or is it not have to do with anxiety?
Had, I mean, this, I can remember having, just like maybe a fear, I guess you would call it, ever since I was, but my family split up when I was 5. And I just always had that, like, I always felt kind of, you know, fearful and unstable, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not secure, I guess, would be a good way to put it.
And have you,
and it just,
have you sought help for
a lot of parts of my life?
Have you sought help for that? Have you gone to counseling? Talked to anybody?
Yeah, I'm seeing a counselor. I have off and on over the years. And I just, I mean, it kind of comes and goes, and this last 8 months, it's just, I don't know. I've been trying to find answers. I read my Bible. I do my devotions. I try to pray. Sometimes all I can get out is Jesus. I mean, I just... I don't know. What am I doing something wrong or?
No, I think you're doing something right. But let me tell you what I think happened. Do you know what the most selfish organ in the body is? Most selfish.
No, I suppose. What's that?
It's the brain. The brain is the most selfish organ in the body. Because you know what? It's committed to do. It's committed to keep you alive. So this is what happened.
Right.
At 5 years old, when your parents left, you went into fight and flight. Your brain got kindled.
Right.
It got turned up. And you've had that for decades. So guess what happens to a brain that's weary, that's been in fight and flight for a very long time? It switches to a different setting. It goes to freeze. And that brain becomes less flexible. It has a harder time doing things like sleeping, even with medications. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you a resource. One that New Life, you know, he's Max, my brain, right? Rick Tanzi, we've done some New Life shows with him, and he has something called Brain State Technology. I got to tell you, my friend, they have done phenomenal work in the area of sleep. I've had people that could not sleep that are sleeping again. because their product helps you to get out of that freeze into more of a flexible state. So check out MaxMyBrain.com, or they can you can stay on the line and we'll point you to his resource. Our call center is definitely wants to help you. Yeah. Any thoughts, Chris?
Well, the other thought, because that's really important to get this brain balanced out well.
Yeah.
There is also a five-year-old inside of you, Greg. And he's
every time I talk about it, I it makes me get emotional, and it's been 55 years ago, for crying out loud.
I know it has, but it's not 55 years ago for that five-year-old. Mm-hmm. It's today for him. And he had no one there to help him. He had no one there to hold him and to guide him. He went to sleep alone in tears, not knowing what his life was going to be like the next day. And so he got stuck in that place. I would love for you to get into some work that helps you connect and love and care for and develop that five-year-old boy inside of you. He's a phenomenal kid, man. It's long overdue. The love that he needs is long overdue. Yeah.
Powerful. So how might he do that, Chris? Can you give him a couple practical steps?
Yeah, a couple practical steps is that five-year-old actually shows up in your body, not your brain. Your brain reacts to it.
Right.
But somewhere between your chin and your belly button, you are carrying a lot of tension. Usually a pressure on your...
Right in my chest.
Exactly, a pressure right on your chest. That thing has a voice. Yep. That thing has a voice if you'll listen to it.
So getting with a therapist that's familiar with something called body work or somatic...
Somatic experiencing. Yeah.
Or somebody who does some EMDR,
yes.
right? Gets
mm-hmm.
into those trauma wounds. So there are some clinicians that are trained to that kind of work. And if you hold on the line, again, our call center can help you get connected.
How about a book that we...
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say take your life back.
I'd say take your life back, yeah.
Okay.
That would be a good resource. Because really, you touched on that little boy, and did you hear him? He went right into that grief, that loss, and he can get his life back. There's so many things we can do.
Absolutely.
We don't have to stay stuck and stay without sleep and stay in pain.
Well, and so many times we take the wounded child part of ourselves and we stuff it away, we ignore it, or we medicate it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It turns into addiction. But what we never do is we never, until we get into the help that we need, connect with it, love it, nourish it, and take the time to develop that wounded child inside of us. And I'll never forget Mylan saying one time, it beautiful statement. He said, at 59, I finally felt my age.
Yeah.
You know, I really, at 43, I resonate that. I'm like, okay, I have a few more years till I can feel my age, but I still got to do that inner work to get there.
Yeah. Thank you. I want to close with some scripture. But before I do that, I want to remind you that we have a Intimacy and Marriage Weekend beginning this Friday. And it's in Dallas, Texas. And give us a call if you'd like to come. Hopefully we have spots still open. But it's a great workshop. You know, that call led into something that I've been chewing on lately in scripture. And that is the peace, the quietness, the stillness, the time with God. And there's two short passages out of Isaiah I wanted to close with. One is Isaiah 30:15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And then in Isaiah 32:17, he says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. We live a busy life. We are on the run. And we talked in another show, Sharon, you said your program for that is on the fly, as is so many of
flying
us.
Flying by the seat of pants. But you know what you said in that verse? It's so powerful. In repentance, you know what repentance means in its most simplest form? Is turning around. Mm-hmm. Turning around, and instead of not listening to that little five-year-old inside, mm-hmm. build a relationship with your pain. Get into treatment. If you're stuck in addiction and you're medicating, repentance means turn around. And when we do that, the result is peace, right? And you don't just get peace out of a Coke machine. No,
and
right?
I know we have a few seconds left, but just last week in our office in Newport, I was sitting in between sessions. I was really struggling with an issue. And in a quiet voice, I heard God say, "There's grace for that."
There you go.
There is grace for all of us.
We wouldn't have heard it without the quiet.
Exactly.
We'll be back.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.